All right, we're back, and Matt Shook joins us now for his weekly visit. It's been a very busy week for Mr. Shook. He has been all over the map. Well, not all over the map, but you've been places.
I've been places, yes. I've been all over the state, Michigan State on Tuesday for some football access with Mark D'Antonio and those guys, and all over the Lions all week as well, and just spent my last afternoon of the season at Comerica Park as the Tigers wrapped up the home schedule.
With the worst record that they've ever had at home.
Yeah, 22-59, which is not very good if you're into the math. So, yeah, worst record they've ever had at home. Could have tied the 2003 home mark with a win today, and it was not to be. And, yeah, it was as ugly as they pretty much all are this season. John Hicks throwing the ball to third base with nobody covering it. Jake Rogers, who, if nothing else, was supposed to be this very good defensive player, defensive catcher. And I think that's still the belief that that's the book on him, correctly so. But he has 9 passed balls in 33 games behind the plate, which is, like, if you have 10 passed balls in a season as a catcher, you're, like, below average for passed balls. But, you know, playing 33 games and having 9, that tells you about how much he has struggled defensively in his time, not even to say the much below 200 batting average.
That's what I think's happening here. He's taking his hitting into the field.
Yeah, I think so. And you're completely right about that. But I think that getting, you know, all that said, I think him getting a month plus at the major league level is probably a good thing for him going into the off season. And, man, I tell you what, I don't know that there's a position on this field for the Tigers going into next season where you're pretty sure that such and such is going to be starting there, which is a strange place to go into Lakeland next year.
Mm. You saw history today, though. The Twins became the first Major League Baseball team to hit 300 home runs in a season. The Twins!
Yeah, we can remember the last few years, even when they were good with Ron Gardenhire. This was never a home run hitting team. Some Maurer and Morneau in the middle, and Maurer wasn't even much of a power hitter. But yeah, now it's up and down the lineup. Not today, because they had the hangover lineup in there after celebrating the division championship last night. But, you know, their everyday lineup is full of guys that hit 20, 30 home runs this season. And, yeah, it looks like they're probably going to match up with the Yankees in the divisional series, which should be a fun one, lots of bombs. And like you said, that's 600 home runs between the two teams right now, 301 to 299 with 3 games left in the season. So the ball should be flying out of those stadiums next week.
You were in East Lansing. Mark D'Antonio show, by the way, coming up at 7 o'clock here on WPHM. He passed Duffy Doherty with the win over Northwestern, and he's now the winningest football coach in the history of Spartan football. And yet I get the feeling that every reporter that asked him about it this week probably got the same blank stare and the same blasé answer from him, that that he's not thinking about that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he, you know, in the middle of the season, it's tough. And plus, obviously, the disappointment being that it was supposed to be at home the week before in a game that you're favored against a team that you're better than in Arizona State, and they lose that one. But, you know, to their credit, they recovered nicely. Northwestern's not a very good team by any means, but they just handled them completely last Saturday and are going into homecoming this weekend, trying to continue to right the ship with Indiana at home. And then after that, obviously, the gauntlet comes for Michigan State, and we'll find out what this team and Brian Lewerke and that offensive line, and we know what the defense is all about, but is that offense going to be able to step up to the challenge? And, you know, with Elijah Collins being able to run the ball like he has been when they've called upon him, I'm a little bit optimistic about Michigan State the rest of the season. You know, I don't think this is a Big Ten championship team or anything like that, but as far as being one of the contenders and possibly a team that, you know, could give Ohio State some trouble and, you know, best case scenario, end up in the Big Ten championship game one more time, I think it's a possibility.
I'm going to ask you this then. Who wins more games this year, Spartans or Wolverines?
I think it's got to be Michigan State right now. Just, I mean, you look at Michigan, I was at the first couple games, and I was telling anyone who would listen that this defense is not very good. I mean, you lose what they lost with some of those NFL players that Donnie Brown's defense lost, and Jim Harbaugh's offense is a little bit improved from last year with the talent that they have at wide receiver, but even that hasn't been good, obviously, with all the turnovers they've had so far this year. But like I said, my question is the defense, and especially a team like Wisconsin, who just bullied them for 4 quarters That's not going to be every team you go up against. I think Michigan will match up against some of the even very good teams a little bit better than they do against Wisconsin last week. But, they got to get on track. Obviously, the Vultures are circling right now. And I would expect, obviously, a big win against Rutgers and then, a slightly bigger win against Iowa the week after that at home. But then, like we say, Notre Dame, Michigan State, Penn State, Ohio State, I mean, they're all out there. So I would suspect that there's going to be another handful of losses coming to Michigan this year.
All right. The Lions did it last week, or Philly gave it to them. I don't know. I guess I shouldn't care because we're 2-0-1.
That's right.
And we're going forward down the field.
That's right. Sometimes we go forward down the field.
Does it all end this week with the Chiefs? And how good really are the Lions? And do they have a chance to beat the Chiefs?
I mean, they got a chance to beat the Chiefs, but no, I mean, I certainly don't think it's going to happen. I would definitely lay the points if I'm a gambling type and say that I expect that Mahomes would beat the Lions. I get my teams mixed up in my head. Sorry, they would beat the Lions by at least 6.5 points, probably a touchdown or better. And yeah, I feel comfortable saying that. But I will say this for the Lions: you said it, and I mean, I know it sounds cliche, but 2-0-1 at this point. I think it's definitely more important to get wins in September than it is to look good in September. The season's going to be going to change. You're going to have different mutations of your football team from week to week, certainly from month to month. If you're a football team, you want to get hot come November, December, start winning these important games. But to just be stacking wins right now, even like you said, by no means does this look like a complete football team or even a very good football team. It looks like a good football team at times. But I think that if you just keep winning, the NFL games sometimes come down to 5, 6, 7 plays. And fortunately for the Lions, they've been on the right end of more of those than they have been on the wrong end of, like they were in week one against Arizona. So, yeah, I think that's a good sign. And if you believe Matt Patricia and what he's doing, and I'm not someone who's quite there yet, but the good coaches will be able to get their teams to be playing better football at the end of the year than they are at the beginning of the year. And if you believe that he can do that, then now you got to be optimistic about this team's chances of possibly getting to the playoffs.
Well, I mean, I don't know why I get so jaded about this football
franchise. Well, I think I know why you get jaded.
I mean,
there's a million reasons to be jaded about this team. There's no reason to apologize.
They're 2-0-1. And they won against the Chargers and against the Eagles, two games that in the preseason, I didn't think they were going to win those games. I thought they'd be 1-2 right now. That's what I thought.
Right, but yet, like you said, they've surpassed the expectations, but it still doesn't feel good because, like you said, they have not really played all that well in those games, the decimation of injuries by both of those teams, and it showed up right in those places, right? I mean, the Chargers weren't able to make big plays in the secondary because they had guys out in the secondary. The Eagles dropped a bunch of passes because they had their wide receivers out. I mean, Rashawn Melvin was in the vicinity of that final play there, but he didn't get a hand on it. That should have been a go-ahead touchdown, and then we're having a completely different conversation after that Eagles game. So they almost did everything they had to do to give that game away at times, but thankfully earlier they had made some big plays, including those fumbles that they forced on really good plays, by the way, by Romeo Okwara and Jared Davis and those. So you got to hand it to them. They've done just enough. And like you said, if they can hang in with the Chiefs, I think there's a reason to be pretty optimistic going into the bye week.
All right, we're getting closer. I don't want to, again, I keep rushing people through 2019, but next Tuesday it's October. So you're getting right, pretty close to getting serious here into the Pistons. So what are your early thoughts here before they go to camp?
I'm excited. I'm excited for basketball. You know me, Dennis. I'm a basketball guy. So, yeah, Monday is the media day here in Detroit, and then they're going to East Lansing for Tuesday through Saturday at the Breslin Center like they did in Ann Arbor last year. So I'm excited to at least go to media day. I'm not sure if and when I'll be able to get out to East Lansing for some of those workouts that they're going to have there. But, yeah, I mean, you bring in Joe Johnson and Christian Wood. That's kind of the training camp battle for that 15th roster spot. That's the biggest thing to keep an eye on. But, yeah, I mean, they've improved the depth in the organization for the roster. But obviously in the NBA, you win by the top half of your roster being very good. That hasn't gotten any better. So certainly not a lot of reason to be optimistic of the Pistons making several steps forward as an organization this year. But if they can stay healthy, and obviously that's the biggest question for any NBA team, particularly with the Detroit Pistons and some of their players with injury history, then that's going to be the big one. And that's going to be the difference between them, you know, moving up modestly in the Eastern Conference to possibly a 5 or 6 seed, or going out and missing the playoffs and possibly changing the direction of this entire franchise if things go south a little bit this year, which is certainly a distinct possibility.
The biggest question for me, and I don't know if you can even answer this, can Blake be as good this year as he was last year?
I think that the important part for answering that question, obviously the health is the most important part, but second to that is, are they going to be able to have the second unit better? Are they going to be able to have some backup front court players be able to score so that they can rest him and feel comfortable about not putting so much of the minutes load, the games load, and the usage load on him throughout the season? So I think that he's going to improve. I think that if he stays healthy, there's no reason to believe that he's going to be any worse than last year. But the question is, will they be able to give him some time off so that he's peaking at the end of the season and going into the playoffs, as opposed to last year when he was running out of gas at that time?
All right, tell them about the podcast.
Yeah, we just talked to Donnie Tindall for today's show, and we'll have part two of that interview tomorrow. He is the new Grand Rapids Drive coach. He was embroiled in an NCAA controversy when he was the coach of Southern Miss and then into Tennessee for 1 year. So really interesting conversation on Locked On Pistons. Check that out today and tomorrow. And, yeah, you can find it on iTunes, wherever you get your podcast, Locked On Pistons, and we'll be there starting back to the everyday schedule here in a little bit.
All right, good stuff. Thanks a lot, as always, Matt.
Thanks, Dennis. Talk to you soon. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. There's Matt Shook, who joins us weekly here on the program to talk about a plethora of things, and he knows his stuff. Otherwise, I wouldn't bring him on the show because, you know, I'm all about people who know their stuff. Since I don't know anything, I just sit here and pretend all day long. We'll take a break, and we'll be back to wrap things up.